Hello, this is Jan Kane, reading today with you from the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Tuesday, November 26th. We'll start with an article entitled, Eisenhower Cheerleaders Are on the Move to Florida and London Over the Break. Eisenhower High School cheerleaders will be headed to sunny Orlando over the Christmas holiday break to perform at the Citrus Bowl, a result of their hard work as a team. The Universal Cheer Association hosted a camp earlier this year for the team, which includes 32 athletes. For 4 days in the summer, the team learned 13 sideline cheers to learn, two master dances, one band dance, four crowd cheers, and various stunts, said cheerleading coach Amanda Sider. They watch you and judge you, for lack of a better word, all week, Sider said, speaking of the camp's instructors. They're active the entire time. At the end of the time, they've evaluated and watched auditions. They've evaluated the entire team, their strengths and weaknesses, how they work together, and they produce this big show. And at the end of the show, they fill out this form and decide if you deserve a superior trophy and invitation to perform at the Citrus Bowl. They did great. It costs $1,300 to get there, plus the individual students will need spending money for personal expenses. The team has worked hard since the summer to raise that money and have nearly all of it already. They're also going to get to visit Disney World. Sider said the idea of bringing the camp to Eisenhower, rather than sending the students somewhere else, is to give them a better bang for the buck. Clearly, I have a ton of girls and guys, and the idea was, if you go away to camp, you get one camp advisor for your team, and sometimes you have to share them with other teams, Sider said. If you pay for them to come to you, you get a more intense camp, plus you get two or three people for your entire team. Five of the cheerleaders were chosen to apply for Universal Cheer Association positions in the summer to travel and teach others cheering techniques and get paid for it. So we had a pretty good week, Sider said, laughing. Romaya Bates, also a senior, said they'll be teaching other students stunts and cheers and helping them with techniques. It's like a job, said Anaya Smith, a senior, a fun job. While her teammates are headed to sunny Florida, Kiaria Cotton will be traveling to London on December 26th. She's going to cheer in the New Year's Day parade with other students who have been invited. The Eisenhower senior is okay with missing the trip to Orlando with the rest of the team. London is calling. Joining her will be several MacArthur High School students who also have been invited. The school district could not immediately provide a list of their names Monday. It's sad I can't be with my teammates at the Citrus Bowl, Kiaria said. However, I can represent them in a different country at a different event, so I feel that it's a great thing overall. Next, from Lifestyles, we have an article from the archives, Decatur's Community Thanks. Our next article is titled, Coming Soon, Toki Hibachi and Sushi to Open in Former Fuji Location in Decatur. Those longing for the return of Japanese cuisine prepared tableside by entertaining chefs and sushi, unlike any prepared in the region, take note. Toki Hibachi and Sushi soon will be open in Decatur to fill that void. Toki will be located in the former Fuji Japanese Steakhouse and Sushi Bar, 4292 Prospect Drive, near the North Decatur Walmart. Manager Michael J. Arnold said the original goal was to be open November 25th, but unexpected issues, like the installation of the new business sign and getting the staff hired and trained, have caused a delay. Arnold said the restaurant should begin serving customers next week. We want perfection, Arnold said. When we open, we want everything to be ready and perfect. Arnold said Toki already has hired a top sushi chef who will introduce customers to flavors they would have to travel to New York City to enjoy. He said Toki will take the menu Fuji customers are familiar with and elevate the quality to the next level. Arnold said the hours initially will be all day, but the afternoon break between lunch and dinner that was in place when the business operated as Fuji. Kevin Wong, who was battling health issues when Fuji closed in July, is not involved in the new business. At the time of the closing, Wong said those health issues took him away from the business, which led to lapses in training. Those lapses resulted in the Macon County Health Department closing the restaurant for health violations on two occasions. Let's look at the weather report. Showers to move into Macon County Tuesday night, wind gusts up to 43 miles an hour after midnight. Showers and thunderstorms are possible Tuesday afternoon and Tuesday night across portions of central Illinois, according to the National Weather Service at Lincoln. The Weather Service said storms will move into Macon County and the surrounding area Tuesday night as a weather system tracks across eastern Iowa. Gusts of wind as high as 23 miles an hour are possible Tuesday afternoon, and gusts could reach up to 43 miles per hour after midnight, the Weather Service said. The Weather Service said a high wind watch is in effect late Tuesday night through Wednesday afternoon. I'll just read the 7-day forecast highs and lows. Tuesday, high of 55, low of 37. Wednesday, high of 42, low of 28. Thursday, high of 39, low of 33. Friday, high of 43, low 37. Saturday, high of 58, low of 37. Sunday, high of 40, low 27. And Monday, high of 37, a low of 26. December 3rd is Giving Tuesday. Which charitable organizations do you support? A Decatur Church's fifth annual Giving Tuesday is back on December 3rd to benefit nonprofit agencies in the surrounding area. The agencies will be set up from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Decatur First United Methodist Church at 201 West North Street to answer questions and share information about the services they provide to the community. Giving Tuesday is an opportunity for residents to give financial support to the charitable organizations in Macon County. Next, we have a story from DeWitt County. Clinton High School to train students in mental health first aid with help from Lady Gaga. Clinton High School is taking steps to increase students' mental health awareness with first aid training starting next semester. So many kids today have a lot of trauma going on in their lives and a lot of mental health challenges, and they don't always know how to reach out for help, said Katie Arnold, the program coordinator at Clinton. Clinton and the Heritage Behavioral Health Center are partnering to give the pilot program to the school as one of 40 sites in its second wave. The program is run by the National Council for Behavioral Health with support from Lady Gaga's Born This Way Foundation. This pilot program comes to Clinton after the district experienced 4 student deaths, 2 of which were by suicide, in the last 2 years. Arnold said recent deaths were not the reason she applied for the program, but having seen everyone affected on different levels, it does come at a time when it is important for everyone. 8 Clinton staff members were trained in mental health first aid, and students will be taught by those with experience. Starting in January, sophomores, juniors, and seniors will take part in a 5-week training as part of the Teen Mental Health First Aid pilot program, learning to recognize and respond when their friends are experiencing the early stages of a mental health or addiction problem, Arnold said. The training, designed with high school students in mind, will include teaching students to see and pay attention to their peers' behavior, ask the right questions, actively listen, and reach out to a trusted adult for help. McLean County has offered similar mental health first aid training for adults and youth since 2014. Arnold said the students aren't being asked to diagnose or treat their classmates, just be a first aider who is cognizant of their friends and their friends' feelings. Teens trust their friends, so they need to be trained to recognize the signs of mental health or substance use problems in their peers. The number one thing a teen can do to support a friend dealing with anxiety or depression is to help them seek support from a trusted adult, said Chuck Ingoglia, president and CEO of the National Council for Behavioral Health, in a statement. Next, we'll turn to a bit of politics. 2020 election season is here, See who filed for Macon County offices from Decatur. State and county office candidates on Monday kicked off the 2020 election season by filing to have their names on the March primary ballot. The State Board of Elections at 8 a.m. Monday began what will be a week-long filing period for those wishing to run for any judicial, congressional, legislative, or statewide office. Candidates for county office file their petitions with the office of Macon County Clerk Josh Tanner. Voters will participate in the primaries on March 17th. The following candidates for office filed Monday, according to the State Board website and Tanner. For the U.S. Senate, Mark C. Curran, Jr., Republican from Libertyville, Dick Durbin, Democrat from Springfield, the incumbent, and Tom Tarter, Republican from Springfield. In the 13th Congressional District, Rodney Davis, Republican from Taylorville, the incumbent, and Betsy Dirksen Londrigan, Democrat from Springfield. Illinois Senate 55th District, Darren Bailey, Republican from Xenia. In the Illinois House of Representatives, in the 87th District, Tim Butler, Republican from Springfield, who is the incumbent. 95th District, Avery Byrne, Republican from Morrisonville, the incumbent. 96th District, Sue Shearer, Democrat from Decatur, the incumbent. 101st District, Dan Calkins, Republican from Decatur, the incumbent. And 102nd District, Brad Hallbrook, Republican from Shelbyville, who is the incumbent. For Macon County Circuit Clerk, Jennifer Ebora, Republican, and Sherry Doty, Republican. For Macon County Recorder, Mary A. Tagney Eaton, a Democrat, who is the incumbent. Macon County State's Attorney, Philip Tibbs, a Republican, Scott Reuter, a Republican. And for Macon County Board, from District 3, Brian Smith, a Democrat, the incumbent. District 5, Jeffrey Entler, Republican, Deborah Kraft, Republican, who is the incumbent, and Hubert Murray, Republican. For District 6, David Drobish, Republican, who is the incumbent, and Rob Hickey, Democrat. And for District 7, Edward Yoder, Republican. Next, we have another story from the 13th Congressional District. The headline is, U.S. Representative Rodney Davis says impeachment will halt progress in Washington. An open forum Monday night with U.S. Representative Rodney Davis and State Representative Dan Brady covered a broad range of issues from health care to gun control to the minimum wage, but Davis blamed Democrats and the impeachment process for a lack of action in Washington, D.C. Davis did not directly answer a question about whether he thought President Donald Trump had committed an impeachable offense, instead quoting from testimony of witnesses who said they saw no impeachable offense. The Taylorville Republican said that, unlike some, I'm not going to conjecture what the witnesses meant. With 2 weeks of public hearings having wrapped up, the House Intelligence Committee is now compiling a report for the House Judiciary Committee. The report will outline whether Trump engaged in treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors by withholding $400 million in aid as he pushed Ukraine to investigate Democratic rival Joe Biden. The Judiciary Committee could hold its own round of hearings in December before a House vote that is expected by Christmas and a possible Senate trial in 2020. Criticizing Democrats for starting the impeachment process behind closed doors, Davis said, if we're going to have an impeachment process that doesn't follow the precedents that have been set for the last three times that our nation's history has seen impeachment happen, we're going down a very dangerous path for future generations. And those future generations are going to see partisan impeachment inquiries whenever you have a White House that's held by a different party than the House of Representatives and the Senate. A large portion of the more than 120 people attending the forum erupted in applause when Davis said, the House will impeach President Trump. Davis said, those who applauded are saying they don't care that the Senate is required to stop work on everything else once the House returns articles of impeachment. On a related topic, Davis said, "We have to do everything we can to ensure there is not foreign meddling in U.S. elections in the future," adding, "I'm not sure we have." But he said no votes were changed by foreign entities in the last election. On the subject of gun control, Davis said, "I'm an ardent defender of the Second Amendment and a member of the National Rifle Association." But he noted that the Brady Group, named after former President Reagan's aide Jim Brady, named him Legislator of the Week for co-sponsoring a bipartisan bill to encourage sales of gun safes with guns. Davis said the issue is personal, not political for him. "I've had to run from bullets on a baseball field," he said, referring to an attack on Republican congressmen practicing for a charity baseball game in 2017. In local business news, we have a listing of Decatur area business openings and closings. This is a look at the businesses that have opened and closed in the Decatur region. The list is being updated on an ongoing basis. First, Bobby's Lane Barbecue, which is located at 1964 South Taylorville Road. Image Cafe. Image Cafe owners plan to open the restaurant within a few weeks at 120 South Oakland Avenue in Decatur. Shark's Fish and Chicken at 1154 East Prairie Street in Decatur is scheduled to open sometime in the fall of 2019. Speakeasy Records and Oddities. Owner Brian Abbott opened Speakeasy Records and Oddities in April 2017 on Water Street. The business moved to El Dorado Street in September of 2019. Family Video in Mount Zion. Now we're turning to closings. A sign posted on the Family Video at 110 Wildwood Drive in Mount Zion on September 6, 2019, said that location is closing. Mustard Seed Coffee House. Mustard Seed Coffee House at 117 North Main Street in Moequa opened in 2018 and closed in August 2019. Ashley Home Store Outlet and Best Brands Outlet opened. Muller Water Products in August 2019, announced plans for a new foundry at 2700 North Jasper Street. Brew Works, in August 2019, relocated to 102 West William Street in the corner of the three-story Haynes and Essex building at Main Street. DeBoe's Chicken and Waffles on Jasper Street, a second DeBoe's Chicken and Waffles restaurant, is planned at 137 South Jasper Street in Decatur. Let's look at some of the sports results for yesterday, Monday, November 25th. Boys basketball tournaments are going on now, of course. Casey Westfield 70, Oblong 33, Charleston 64, Newton 56. That was in the Cumberland Turkey Tournament. In the Effingham St. Anthony Thanksgiving Tournament, Tutopolis 62, Robinson 54, and Effingham St. Anthony 63, Tolono Unity 34. Hayworth 57, Cerro Gordo Bement 51 at their turkey tournament. At the Eaton Corporation tournament in Lincoln, Lincoln 53, Cahokia 30. At the Bill Rux Memorial Tournament at Mount Pulaski 35, Mason City Illini Central 19. And at the Bill Rux Memorial Tournament at Mount Pulaski, Springfield Cavalry 50, LSA 37. At the Mulberry Grove Turkey Tournament, St. Elmo Brownstown 55, Patoka 52. At the Cerro Gordo Bement Turkey Tournament, Villa Grove Broadlands Heritage 50, Sangamon Valley 20. In girls basketball, at the Bob Kierens Tournament at Newton, Altamont 63, Effingham 46. Also in girls basketball, the Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond 48, Shelbyville 41, Brownstown St. Elmo 66, Windsor Stewartson Strasburg 42, Hayworth 60, Moroa Forsyth 40, LSA 62, Decatur Christian 22, Marshall 51, Neoga 32, we're still in girls basketball, Newton 56, Vandalia 38, Nokomis 32, Carlisle 28, South Central 73, Ramsey 23, St. Elmo Brownstown 66, Windsor Stewartson Strasburg 42, Sullivan 45, Arcola 19, Tri-City Sangamon Valley 42, Warrensburg Latham 22, Tuscola 43, Cerro Gordo Bement 28, Alma 97, Milliken 69. Now we're at men's basketball. We jumped to men's college basketball. So Alma 97, Milliken 69, and women's college, Milliken 88, Eureka 68. Also in sports, from boys basketball, we have an article titled, Tuscola sophomore Jalen Quinn, ready to build on strong freshman season. Tuscola boys basketball coach Justin Bozarth sat in an office chair behind his desk, looked to his right, and saw Jalen Quinn in a big orange chair with his legs sprawled out as Quinn scrolled through his cell phone. Quinn's shoulders are broader than they were a year ago, his arms more muscular, and his legs longer. He's just a sophomore who is scratching the surface of his basketball skills, but was already good enough as a freshman to be a driving force behind Tuscola's first boys basketball regional championship since 2008, averaging 16 points and 7 rebounds last season. Sometimes Bozarth has to remind himself that Quinn is only a sophomore who was 15 years old last year when he burst onto the varsity basketball scene straight from junior high. This version of Quinn, who sat in Bozarth's office and finalized plans for a weekend unofficial visit to a Purdue basketball game, and already took an unofficial visit to Illinois in October, is more confident. He's been around the varsity stage, worked all summer in Tuscola football head coach Andy Romine's weight program, and played for the Indy Heat AAU team, a premier program. He said he's now 6'3" and 170 pounds, about an inch taller and 15 pounds stronger than he was last year. Playing 1 year of varsity already gets you more ready for the upcoming season, Quinn said. I think I've gotten a lot more comfortable and a lot more confident with how I can do things and what I can do with my game on the court. He was already a known commodity before putting on his number 3 jersey, one he hopes to get back this season, provided an upperclassman doesn't take it from him. If there was even a hint of secrecy about him before last season, it's gone now, particularly after playing for the Indy Heat in the summer. He joined the AAU team after he recovered from a fractured right wrist he suffered early in basketball season. Not only in his freshman season did he meet expectations, but he probably exceeded some of our expectations, Bozarth said. Now you see him playing against some of the best kids around the country on the EYBL circuit, and he kind of has that confidence every time he steps on the court, where he has high expectations for himself, and he's confident he can meet those expectations just because he's used to playing at the highest level. Quinn had to meet his physical development with his mental development. It's been a point of emphasis to take the next step in that category. There were times last season where Quinn dropped his shoulders and got down on himself after a turnover or bad play. He knows that can't happen if he plans on getting where he wants to go. I've gotten bigger, I've gotten stronger. I've been working on my game every day this summer, just trying to improve on the little things and also my mental toughness, Quinn said. When I was a freshman, I didn't have a lot of mental toughness. I know coming into the season now that it's a big part of the game. You can't let other teams and other players get in your head that easy. Bozarth saw it all come together for Quinn during last year's postseason run. He scored 26 points and had had 6 rebounds in Tuscola's regional semifinal win over top-seeded St. Joseph Ogden, and then turned in a 21-point, 10-rebound game in the regional final against Tolono Unity. By that point, Bozarth said, he knew that if the Warriors wanted to keep winning, Quinn was going to have to deliver, even if he was only a freshman. In the postseason, Bozarth saw Quinn come to that same realization. I think as the season wore on, he knew as we went into regionals that it all clicked, that I'm one of the premier players out here, Bozarth said. You could just see his game elevate, where he took control where he needed to take control. Quinn peered up from his phone when he overheard Bozarth point out the impact that Quinn has on younger basketball players in the community. Is that a strange thing for Quinn, a young player in his own right, to hear? Nah, not really, he said. But Bozarth knows the statement holds true, and Quinn is just getting started. Kids in Tuscola, they're in their driveway thinking they are Jalen Quinn, Bozarth said. Next, we have an article titled, Love Game Night, But Trying to Declutter? Decatur's New Game Cafe Might Be for You. Kyle Tomey took his love of hosting game nights citywide by opening his business, where customers will be able to play his personal collection of over 400 games. If you've seen games on the shelf, I probably have it, including old ones you can't find anymore, said Tomey, owner of the Hungry Hippo Board Game Cafe. The grand opening for the business at 2950 North Water Street is scheduled for December 7th. Game giveaways, discounted passes, tickets for playing games, and drink passes are scheduled in celebration of the shop officially opening. Prices are $5 per person for unlimited time to play games, or $3 for children 10 and under. Tomey said he would consider membership and multiple pass options in the future. Games in the collection include classics like Monopoly, checkers, and cards, spanning to others released as recently as this month. The favorites of Tomey's game night group, which he hosted in his Decatur home for about 2 years, were Settlers of Catan and Codenames. The goal is to add new games to the store's collection each month, maybe even each week if business picks up quickly, he said. The shop also serves a menu of hot drinks like lattes and coffee, along with soda and various snacks. The idea was to provide a game night atmosphere for customers to melt away from the stress of things without worrying about cleaning up afterwards. Those looking to purchase a game for their home use can get a test run at the business. There's not a specific place designed to just pick out a game and play it, Tomey said. I wanted to bring it to Decatur because I had too many games myself. I asked, how can I share games with my community? Those who want a sneak peek can stop in this week. Tomey plans for the business to be unofficially open from 4 to 8 p.m. Tuesday and Wednesday, closed on Thursday, and then 4 to 9 Friday and 2 to 9 Saturday. These times are subject to change. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Tuesday, November 26th. Please stay with us.